And it's so powerful, just the act of walking. But when you're doing it on the Kintyre Way, when you're surrounded by, whether it's a coastal walk or through the forest or up on the heaths or in the bogs or whatever, and you just kind of lose yourself into that moment.
Hello, my name's Ellen, and my blind dog Jed and I are walking the Kintyre Way. The walk covers 100 miles across the Kintyre Peninsula, taking in beaches, forestry, moors and ancient woodland, and promises heart-swelling views for me and mind-blowing smells for Jed. This podcast will take you through the walk section by section, including conversations along the way. Details of the walk, accommodation, transport, maps and step-by-step guides can be found at thekintyreway.com. This episode is sponsored by Tain Loan Stores, a licensed convenience store near the ferry terminal for gear. Weary walkers can expect a warm welcome and a well-earned rest while enjoying the lovely coffee, fresh filled rolls, pies and cakes, and take advantage of the Wi-Fi and USB charging points. Tain Loan Stores also stock midge repellents, midge nets, tick removers, plasters, soothing creams, sunscreens, pet supplies, easy camp meals, and all the essentials for your trip. This episode is sponsored by Torresdale Castle Estate, which boasts a castle apartment, cosy cottages and beautiful eco-bothies for holidaymakers. Hosting wildlife walks and tours, Torresdale is also home to Ben & Turk Distillery with its gin school and fully licensed cafe. Find out more at torresdalecastle.com. Section 4, Tain Loan to Carradale. Distance 16 miles. Time 6 to 9 hours. Suitable for walking, running, and cycling. From Tain Loan, head down a minor road which turns into a vehicle track, which brings you, thank you, Jed, through some nice field walking before you're on the beach once more. A short stint on sand, then it's back to the forestry road, which soon follows the tumbling tree shrouded Killian Burn upstream to Kilmorey. This section affords wonderful views over Isla, Jura, Gia and Cara. A few hundred yards beyond Kilmorey, the trail leads into open moorland, passing the ruins of Braid's Farm. Archaeology enthusiasts can divert a little further on, just short of a cattle grid, to inspect a cup-marked rock. The shallow cup, possibly up to 4,000 years old, is about 3 inches in diameter and partly covered with yellow lichen. The origin and purpose of this enigmatic feature is uncertain, but there are plentiful in Kintyre. The forestry road continues climbing steadily to Knocknaneagh designated area, which passes the wind farm. As you ascend, you can see Ben Gruachan, the sacred mountain of Argyll, far to the northeast. The forest road descends into the Glen of Carradale Water, with a short stretch of tarmac surface en route. The road passes Auchinbreck Farm and leads to an intersection, bringing you towards Brackley Cemetery and its chambered cairn, which is well worth a short detour. Taking a forestry track off the small road, you'll soon be heading through cool mixed forest, getting quite steep after a while as you're heading up Deer Hill. At this point, I was joined by friend of Kintyre Way, Dominic Ryan, and friend of Dominic Ryan, Collie Dog Star, to make the climb up Deer Hill. I'm going to level with you. We didn't quite make it all the way to the top this time. We used the arthritis, heart murmur and dementia of our respective dogs as an excuse to do a little bit of it, then head back down to Blackbird Tea Room for a bit of cake. We're out with Jed again. We are heading up on this beautiful day. We're heading up Deer Hill, which is part of the Carradale section of the Kintyre Way. We're with...
It's Dominic and Star.
Our two dogs. They're getting on in years.
Yeah, they are. They're kind of replicating their, one of their owners.
Yeah.
That'll be me.
Yeah. So we're going to take it easy, but we're going to head up Deer Hill. And Jed's just taking Dom down by swerving in front of him there. Have a look at some of the views and then just see how the dogs get on. Which brings me, quite neatly, Dom, to dog walks. Star's 11 now.
Star's
so
11.
You've been walking the Kintyre Way with her for exactly 11 years.
Indeed.
Any tips?
Yes, always keep your dog on a lead. Tip number one. Unless it has 100% recall, obviously. Star, for example, has very good recall, but not 100% when there are deer involved.
Yes.
And on Deer Hill, there are deer.
So we are very much on lead at the moment.
So
Jed has zero recall and thinks that he knows best where to go.
He does know best, but yeah.
Safer
to keep
on the lead.
But dog walking on the Kintyre Way is fantastic. You meet a lot of dog walkers. We're very lucky in that we live right on the Kintyre Way, so we can do lots of different sections of it very easily and within walking distance of home, in fact.
Yeah, I think we figured out that if you're camping, when you walk along, then you're absolutely fine to take a dog the whole way along. And most of the main places to stay, there are dog-friendly options. You can look at the website to see more about that. But it's a wonderful trip to do with a fit dog. Your longest section is 22 miles, and the terrain is generally quite easy for a non-blind dog.
Indeed, yeah. And there are many opportunities to stop and dip in and dip out. You don't have to do 22 miles in one day. You can do as much as you like.
Yes, and actually something that Jed's just reminded me of there by diving into a passing stream is that the provision of water along the way just by burns and streams is actually pretty good. So your dog's going to be...
We do get a lot of rain.
We do get a lot of rain. Quite well catered. Yeah. Well, yeah.
But yeah, there's refreshments on tap, so to speak.
Yes. This is going to be a great section for people that like to hear two middle-aged people heavy breathing as they stay going up a hill.
It's the talking part.
Yeah. You know,
I can do the breathing but not the talking.
Your dog does quite a good impression of a husky pulling you up there.
It's very helpful.
Mine is more
the steeper sections are made much easier thanks to Star's traction.
Yeah.
Up Deer Hill, keep an eye out for deer, along with glorious views over the Kilbrannan Sound to Arran. The Kintyre Way brings you down to Carradale, where you'll find accommodation, a holiday park, and a well-stocked village shop. Carradale lies at the head of Carradale Bay on the Kilbrannan Sound. Its name reflects Norse origins and means brushwood valley. To the west of the village is Carradale House, where Naomi Mitchison, 1897 to 1999, a leading 20th century Scottish writer, lived for more than 50 years. We're going to cross back to Dominic now, who tells us a little bit about Naomi Mitchison.
There's a very famous resident that I think we should...
There can be only one.
Yes.
This would be Naomi Mitchison.
Can you give us a little bit of an outline of where she lived?
Sure. She had passed before I came to Carradale. That was at the grand old age of 101. So like many, many Carradale people, she had a very, very long life. She was born in Edinburgh into quite a wealthy family.
1916.
She was born. Moved to, I believe, Hammersmith in London, where she married a chap who would become an MP then, a Lord.
That'll be Gilbert Richard Mitchison.
Better known to many as Dick. And they finally moved to Carradale after enjoying a very famous time in London, where they would entertain the glitterati of the day in terms of writers and artists and politicians and all the great thinkers.
Yeah, she was a proper polymath.
Yeah.
In terms of the reach of her intellect.
She would have been an amazing woman to sit down with. I'm really sad that I didn't get the chance ever to meet her. Many, many people did, because she was very gregarious and very open to talking to anyone from a professor to a fisherman to a stranger in the street. She was very open-minded, very happy to talk about very many things. But yeah, her brain was just incredible.
Yeah, and sort of her interest in philosophy, technology, folklore.
Very much the cutting edge of the Scottish Renaissance that was happening at that time.
She was a great feminist as well,
I love her. Way ahead of her time.
Yeah.
I don't even know that she would have considered herself a feminist. She just saw it as a probably is an extension of the logical thing to be in terms of sticking up for disenfranchised people, whether that was due to gender or race or your social standing. So way ahead of her time in that respect. In fact, in later life, she would champion a tribe from Africa who would adopt her as their guardian and counsellor, and they would call her mother.
Right. Now, I've got that written down here. So that's Bakatla.
I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but that's it, yeah.
Which is where in Botswana, or what would become Botswana
finally, yeah. I think she was actually there when the transition occurred in the country at the time. Apparently when you visited the Cardale House, which is where she moved to, when she moved to Cardale, the big Cardale estate that still exists today, under different ownership, obviously. Cardale House would be full of African artifacts and gifts that she'd been given by her extended family. So yeah, a fascinating woman, and you can still find lots about her in areas like the Heritage Centre in Cardale, and also in the Heritage Centre in Campbelltown.
And I've got two quotes here that I've picked out, which I think, Jed smelled something.
As long as it's not a deer, we should be fine.
Yeah. Two quotes which sort of give people a flavour of her politics and her humour. So firstly, taken from her book Lobsters on the Agenda, It is possible to go faster than folk are ready for. That's the key to democracy.
Now that's so opposite still, isn't it?
Yeah. Ahead of her time.
Oh, well.
Something yes. else, isn't it? And the other one, which is, all forms of sexual loving become acceptable if the lovers wear togas or wolfskins. Which I think, just come on, mate.
I mean, that's self-evident, isn't it? most of the Cardale parties I've been to, that's de rigueur.
She's an absolute hero. So that's Naomi Mitchison, who lived in Cardale House until her death in 1999 at the age of 101.
A genuine hero.
Huddled midway into the east coast of the Kintyre Peninsula, looking out to the Isle of Arran over the ever-changing colours and textures of the Kilbrannan Sound, Cardale is a small community with a big history. In days gone by, fishermen and crofters successfully ploughed sea and field, and the village enjoyed a reputation as a thriving community. With the herring industry in full tilt and a first pier built in 1858, excited tourists began arriving on regular steamships from Glasgow. These families returned to Cardale year after year, and generations on, many still do. Today, Cardale retains only a whisper of its once vast fishing fleet, with a handful of boats mostly collecting langoustines, and one of the largest caged salmon fish farms in Europe. Cardale's nine-hole golf course has found fame amongst the sports enthusiasts from all over the world. Of course, you don't have to be a golf fan to enjoy a stroll around the course and marvel at the majestic scenery of rolling green hills, rocky coastline, and white-capped sea. Located next to the popular Blackbird Tea Room with its hearty lunches and fresh baking, the village's heritage centre is a treasure trove of stories, all safely curated in a low stone building under a brightly painted red roof. As well as depictions of the village's fishing, farming and forestry years, you can discover tall tales of smuggling and mysterious sea creatures. There's even an adder pit, although thankfully it's now home only to fake plastic serpents. Sitting next to the Heritage Centre is a stone building so tiny it's quite hard to believe that from 1887 to 1891 it served as a primary school for around a dozen children. Today, the building has been given a brand new lease of life as the old schoolhouse gallery, featuring a wonderful collection of locally produced ceramics, mixed media art, and photographs.
One of many pretty special beaches in this part of the world is in Cardale Bay, which is, what would you say, 2 miles long? A mile?
The word is it's exactly a mile long.
Oh, perfect.
And the reason we believe that to be true is that Naomi Mitchison played host to Roger Bannister, who was training to break the 4-minute mile. And he would do his training on the Big Bay because he knew that was exactly a mile and it would strengthen his muscles running on the sand. So I like to think it's exactly a mile when I do my training.
When you, yeah.
My sub 10-minute mile with Star.
Star does a sub 10-minute mile.
Oh, she can do it much, much faster.
Oh, that's fascinating. I didn't know that. How wonderful. And it's another of these beautiful, sandy sort of beach that on a nice day, on a fine day, could be anywhere in the world.
It could be the Caribbean for sure. Yeah. I mean, I know that's a bit of a trope, you know, but it's so true.
I think I've already said that about six or seven other beaches along the Kintyre Way, so I'm falling right in the cliche.
It's obvious because it is true. And it's a very shallow bay, so the water gets warmed by the sun. So it's ideal for swimming.
Yeah, it's quite shallow a long way out. For children, obviously there's no lifeguard, so we would stop
something
short of saying
mind.
It's completely safe. And you know, open waters always have a degree of danger, but it's good paddling. It's good for paddling on a nice calm day. The water stays shallow for a long way out, so
yeah, it's ideal. If you want to fancy a bit of kayaking or paddleboarding, anything of that nature. It's also very quiet, even on a busy holiday. There'll be people from the caravan park, which is now part of what was Carradale Estate, Naomi's day. And there'll be day trippers, but you will always find room and space just to chill out yourself.
I don't know that I could pick a favorite, but I find myself thinking about the trek from Tanlone to Carradale a lot. If I remember correctly, it's the only day with two very distinct big climbs in it, and the second one is towards the end. You're worn out, and we were going up, and I'm just head down, watching my feet take step after step. But when we crested that second part, I could feel the ground level off, so I kind of instinctually looked up, and there was Aaron, just the entire island, stretched out under a blue sky, crowned by clouds that looked like they were put there on purpose. My mother, sister, and I sat at that picnic table and enjoyed that view for a while. I want to say thank you to everybody who worked so hard to make the Kintyre Way so spectacular. This is Colin Ross in Kentucky, USA. The way is the way.
Having cheated a little bit and not taken Jed all the way up Deer Hill, we are going to rest up for a few more days before we tackle the big section, which is Carradale to Campbelltown. We're actually going to do that in two different sections because Jed is very old and I am continuing to use that as the excuse. Coming back down Deer Hill, Dom and I had a bit of a conversation about the meditative effects of walking and how good it is for your mental health. And we sort of backtracked a little bit and turned the microphones back on because it was just quite a nice conversation. Anyone that's done a big walk knows what that's about. It's, you can sort of feel your worry slipping away. It's a real beautiful way to just relieve yourselves a bit from the stress of the modern world. So we're just going to jump back into the conversation now where Dom and I turn the microphones back on and sort of rehad the conversation about walking for your mental health.
I've just put the microphones back on I'm still out here with Dom and Jed and Star, because we were just having a conversation which I thought I might like to record. It seemed apt. You were talking about the power of walking to sort of declutter your brain. I mean, it's not a controversial point, but it is a rather lovely one.
Yeah, it's so powerful, just the act of walking. But when you're doing it on the Kintyre Way and you're surrounded by, you know, whether it's a coastal walk or through the forest or up on the heaths or in the bogs or whatever, and you just kind of lose yourself into that moment and just completely empty your brain of all the nonsense that it accrues during the day. You know, that could be work or personal stuff or whatever. And just me and Star just walking along, 20 minutes, half an hour, it's just such a joy. And you come back, and you, and especially as a writer, you come back just kind of inspired with the act of doing nothing.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. Just, you know, absolutely. Losing yourself in the moment. And the motion of walking as well is kind of a zen-like. It's good.
Yeah, I agree. And the Kintyre Way, I mean, we're biased because this is what we're talking about, but being particularly good for that, because the Kintyre Way, it's challenging, but it's not insurmountable. It's changing terrain, but it's not sort of jarring. It's wild, but it's not, you don't feel You feel isolated, but you don't feel...
You don't feel remote. Yeah. There are remote feeling sections, I suppose.
It's not a survival exercise. No, it's sort of joyous...
You know, you don't find Bear Grylls climbing inside cadavers or anything en route. It's much more genteel.
Not yet. No,
not yet. Never, give it time. I'm sure you'll come up with a series for television. But yeah, I mean, I guess the thing there is it's very accessible to all levels of fitness. And again, you just dip in and dip out.
Mm.
Take what you want from it.
Thanks for walking some of that section with me, Dom, and of course, Dar. We're going to take another few days off and then we're back out for Carradale to Campbelltown. A special thank you to Strange Crazy for use of their music throughout this podcast.